Okay. Bullock, of Shin Pei. So this will be an experiment that will have both an audio and a video available. At least for a week, the video will be available. Okay, let's take a look. First of all, we're going to discuss here, I think, something that's extremely relevant. Right? In other words, it might start off as what appears to be an esoteric point, but the fact is that I don't think that it's all that esoteric. I think that it's very, very lamaisa. For those that can see the screen sharing, so we have over here in Chumash, for instance, here it says Mizbeach Adama Ta'aseli, the commandment to make a Mizbeach. You might ask initially, what does that have to do with Parshas Balak? Yemit Hashem, we'll see that it has a lot to do with it. Mizbeach Adama Ta'aseli. So if you examine that pasuk, the Targum Unkelus, and that pasuk says Mizbeach Adama, Targum Unkelus says Madbach Admasa. Right? The Dalet and the Zayin being interchangeable, and Mizbeach and Madbach are essentially the translation. So too the Targum Yonasim and Uziel. We know that there's more than one Targum on the Chumash's Unkelus, Targum Yonasim and Uziel, Targum Yerushalmi. In any event, so Targum Yonasim and Uziel says also Madbach Admasa. Right? Mizbeach is Madbach, same thing, no change. When we talk about in Chumash and Tanakh, Bechlal, we talk about the Mizbeach of Avodah Zarah, though, there the Targum is no longer Madbach. In other words, take a look at this pasuk here, towards the end of Sefer Shmos, Ges Mizbechosam, we're talking about a Mizbeach of idolatry, Titotsun, you shall destroy them, right? Says the Targum, what's the Targum of the word Mizbechosam? Agoreon. And so too, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, also on that same pasuk, when it translates, when it explains the concept of a mizbeach of an Ovid Avodah Zorah, it does not translate it as madbach, but rather translates it as ego rehon. Let's just address that for a scooch. The word, right, mizbeach, the name, what is referred to in English as an altar, right? As a mizbeach, really at first glance appears to be a misnomer. The idea being why? Because a mizbeach, zvicha is shchita, a place of shchita. And the mizbeach was not the place of shchita. Zvicha is shchita. The mizbeach, albeit that if a person did shecht on the mizbeach, so it is kosher, that we call the Mishnayis, whatever the Gemara in Zevachim discusses that, it is kosher, but it's not certainly that which we assumed is taking place upon the mizbeach. The shechita was ordinarily took place on the floor surrounding the mizbeach, a floor of, let's say, the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Mizbeach was needed for Haktara, for burning the Korban, or for Zrika, for sprinkling of the blood, but not for the Shechita. There was, however, only one Korban that was meant to be shechted upon the Mizbeach, and from there it derives its name, and that was Akedah, the Akedah Yitzchak. Akedah, right? Avram put Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, and he was going to shecht him, except that Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped him. He stopped him. But we see that the name Mizbeach, the name Mizbeach, comes from the fact that every act of avoda in the world of Korbanos, certainly, is an act of really, I see myself as going up on the Mizbeach, except that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me. I did go up on the Mizbeach. He directs me, bring the mineral kingdom in the form of salt and water, bring the vegetable kingdom in the form of the flour offerings, the wheat, etc., upon occasion barley, etc., the oil, the wine, etc., the animal kingdom in the form of all the korbanos. So really, I'm just an emissary, right, bringing all of existence upon the Mizbeach, showing that it all belongs to Ribbono Shel Olam. But really, it's that the methodology by which I step into the fire, by which I offer myself on the Mizbeach. So that's the essence, right? That's the essence of a Jewish mizbeach. The avoda is really, this is my way of showing that I am the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? We find, right, and we've discussed this before, in Parshas Vayetze, in Parshas Miketz, that the Medrash contrasts the dream of Yaakov at the Mokum HaMikdash. He dreamed before he left Eretz Yisrael at the Mokum HaMikdash, and it contrasts that dream with the dream of Paro in Parshas Miketz. Says the Medrash, Ru'um HaBein HaTzadikim HaNevi'in HaRashoyim. Look at the difference between the Rashoyim and the Tzadikim. HaTzadikim Elokeim Omer Aleim. Why? Because in Yaakov's dream, Hashem is Nitzav Alav. He's Nitzav Alav. In Paro's dream, when Paro dreams in Parshas Miketz, so what does it say? That Paro is Omer Al HaYaor. He stands above the Or. It says the Medrash, Ru'um HaBein HaTzadikim HaNevi'in HaRashoyim. It's not just that we're right, we chose the right person to vote for, Chalila, God forbid, and they chose the wrong one. There's a fundamental difference in Avodas Hashem and the world of the Ovid Avodas Zara, right? HaTzadikim Elokeim Omer Aleihem. The tzaddikim, those who humble themselves before the Creator stands above them. They stand above their gods. In other words, their service of their particular deity, whatever it happens to be, whether it be an actual icon, or whether it be some sort of movement that you have so many of them nowadays, right? Or we've had, certainly the last few centuries, we've had all sorts of isms of one sort or another, and now you don't even need an ism, it doesn't need a philosophy, now we believe in anarchy. Right, anarchy and all sorts of asinine ideas, etc. So whatever it is, right, they recall they are omdim al Eloheim. In other words, they worship, they serve the particular force, the particular deity, whatever it happens to be, in order so that force, that deity, will give them what they want. What they want. You hear? What they want. They're omdim al Eloheim. That being the case, so we understand why the Targum differentiates between a mizbeach of Avodas Hashem, which we said is translated in the world of the Targum, both of Unkelus and Yonos and Nuziel, as madbach, a place of zvicha, self zvicha. Again, not actual self zvicha, but conceptually, this is I'm giving myself over, right, to the Creator, and that of the idolaters. There, it's called ego rehon. Ego rehon. What's ego rehon? So in Greek, right? An agora is a marketplace, right? A marketplace, a place of storage of plenty, right? The rodents that store things, the rats, the, what do you call the squirrels, the chipmunks, etc., right? They hoard things, etc. So in Hebrew they're called ogrim. They gather together, right? They gather together, right? So a person, the agora was a place where was gathered much plenty. All the plenty of the marketplace, all the success, all the bounty, all the record, the cornucopia of possibilities, etc. So that is the egorehom. That's why the targum is targum that is egorehom. Just as an aside, that when a person is said to be afraid of wide open spaces in English, he said to suffer from agoraphobia, not because of the storage there, but because the marketplace generally was a very large plaza, right, etc., and that's a wide open place, so therefore it's called agoraphobia. So it's not like we don't come into contact with this word, agora, on a daily basis. I mean, unless we're phobic, right, but right, we do have this in our language. Okay, so we see there's a difference. There is the madbacha, which is the essence of a Jewish altar in service of Hashem, and then there is the altar of the idolater, which is referred to as an agora, right? A place of storage of plenty that's going to be mine. Yes, mine. Fine. Now, let's go a step further. Here now in our Parsha's Balak, right? I wasn't confused as to which state we were in, right? Parsha's Balak. So we know that Bilam asked Balak to b'nei vazeh shiva mizbechos, build for me 7 mizbechos. So these are meant to be mizbechos to be for Avodas Hashem. Obviously, he's not coming to be over Avodah Zarah here. These are mizbechos for Hashem. He's coming to be, as it were, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. He's attempting to usurp the Jewish people's unique relationship with Hashem, etc., etc., etc. So there, on this pasuk, Shiva Mizbechos, the Targum Unkelus says Shiva Madbachim, which makes sense. Shiva Madbachim, seven altars, seven places of Mizbech. But if we look at the Targum Yonason on this very same pasuk, it says V'hava, and it came. Came into Chama Bilam Yason, to Pulchon Nuchra Beneon. He saw, he smelled, as it were, an odor of a little of Ovazara. So before I should say, he was looking at Sheva Dan. Now we know Sheva Dan carried Pesel Micha, even across the Yamsuf, etc. To Pulchon Nechra, he smelled, there's something here that's not 100%. Chada Belibe, he rejoiced in his heart. Ba'amr LeBalak, he said to Balak, B'neili Hacha Shuva, right? Shuva O Egorehon, right? V'atadli, right? V'atadli Torim, right? V'shiva Dachrim. Make for me seven, but now it doesn't translate it. The Targum Yonason ben Uziel didn't translate it as Madbachon, but rather as Egorin, Egorin. So we have over here an interesting phenomenon that we have. On the one hand, L'chora, right? Unklus is telling us that on the outside, this is the Mizbeach for Hashem. Therefore, it's a Madbacha. Madbach. But Yosef Nuzil is telling you that underlying the surface, there is an aspect of Avodah Zarah here. Even though it's a Mizbeach of Hashem, there's an aspect of Avodah Zarah. It's an egoreon. There's something self-serving here. So let's take a look. Let's just make this a little bit smaller so that it doesn't interfere. Okay, very good. The Mishnah in Avos, right? The Mishnah in Avos says, "Kol mi sheish biyado shloshet dvarim halalu, kol sheish biyado." Sorry, shloshet dvarim halalu. A person has in his hands. Now that itself, that terminology itself, sheish biyado, in his hand. I mean, we don't nearly think about midos, which we're going to describe in just a moment. We don't ordinarily think of it in terms of having your hand. But okay, fine. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu, mitalmido shel Avram Avinu. He is one of the talmidim of Avram Avinu. Shlosha dvarim acherim, three other things, chora also your hand, mitalmido shel Bilam Arashi. He's a talmid of Bilam Arashi. What are these midos? Ayin tova, ruach nemucha, nefesh shvela, mitalmido shel Avram Avinu. These are all talmidim of Avram Avinu. Ayin ra, v'ruach gva, v'nefesh rechava, mitalmidav shel Bilham ha-rasha. Okay. Ma bein talmidav shel Avram Avinu, talmidav shel Bilham ha-rasha. What's the difference between that? That's a bizarre question. What's the difference? One of them is a tzaddik and one of them is a rasha. Like, well, you know, wee. Like, I need to ask this question. Ma bein talmidav shel Avram Avinu, talmidav shel Bilham ha-rasha. So first of all, let's say, for whatever reason, it's not self-explanatory. Okay, nandiyach, let's say. But you just told me the differences. One has got ayin tova, ruach nemucha, nefesh shvela, and the other one is on the polar opposite, right? Ayin ra, ruach gva, nefesh rechava. What's the difference? Ma bein? Okay. Ma bein talmidav shel Avram Avinu, the talmidav shel Bilam Arasha, talmidav shel Avram Avinu ochlim ba'olam hazeh v'nochim ba'olam haba. The talmidim of Avram Avinu, they eat in this world and they inherit in the next world. Okay, we'll see. Okay. Again, this idea, we'll see, the Sfasemes talks about it in the Lechora, it's very fundamental. It's similar to an idea that the Sfasemes brings from the Chiddush Yerim, not in this week's Parsha. He brings it someplace else. He says, the pasuk says, "Hashamayim shamayim laHashem, v'aretz nasan livnei Adam." Says the Chiddush Yerim, "Hashamayim shamayim laHashem, the shamayim is Hashem's, v'aretz nasan livnei Adam, and the aretz was given to Bnei Adam to do what? To turn it into shamayim. In other words, to translate all of the events, the experiences, the objects, the relationships, every piece of Olam Hazeh, the difficult moments and the ones of exaltation, translate every moment in time and every object that we come into contact with and every interpersonal relationship that we deal with, translate all of that through the lens of the Torah, through the lens of the Torah, to translate that and to reveal the innermost point of Hashem's will that's there. What does Hashem want from me to uncover in this act, this object, etc.? And what I've done in such a fashion, right, by translating using the lens of the Torah, I have translated Oretz into Shamayim. And that essentially becomes my Olam Haba. That's why it's called Olam Haba. That's why Olam Haba is called Olam Haba. It's not called Olam Hahu. We know that it would appear to be, at first glance, more parallel if we were to say there's Olam Hazeh, this world, and Olam Hahu, that world, this and that, right? Rather than this world and the world to come. But the reason why it's called the world to come is because it comes from this world. That's where a person creates his own Olam Haba. Any event, so he's Ochlim Ba'Olam Hazeh, and Ochlim Ba'Olam Haba. Shneimar L'Hanchil O'Ava Yesh, right? We translate all of the yesh, no reference to the Israeli supermarket chain, right? That we turn all of the yeshus, of all of the being of this world, right? That becomes our nachla, that becomes our inheritance. That is how our Olam Haba, as it were, evolves from our dealings with Olam Hazeh. I will tell Midav Shel Bilam Arash Yorshin Gehenim V'Yordim L'Ver Shachas. Let's be fair here. Let's be fair. I mean, what happened to what happened in Olam Hazeh? It's interesting that the Mishnah, it describes the evolution from Olam Hazeh for the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. They're Ochlim Olam Hazeh. They engage in Olam Hazeh. And through this, they're nochel olam haba. This transforms, right? This becomes the flow as they travel down the river of time and eventually shuffle off the mortal coil. They are nochel olam haba. They created their olam haba. Whereas with regard to the shayim, it says just yorshim gehenim v'yordim lever shachas. I mean, I don't know why we're saying this. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, there are plenty of rishayim, etc., who have a blast in this world. Of course, they go to Gehenim afterwards. Okay, but let's, you know, let's call a spade a spade. They what do you mean, Yorshin Gehenim, Yordin Levir Shachas? There's nothing here. They have nothing here. Maybe, I don't know. It's an interesting point. Point to bonding. Shneem v'atoy elokim toridim levir shachas an shei domi gomir mol yechtze meem ani eftach bo. Okay. Fine. So now let's take a look. Let's take a look at a few some farshim here on this topic, and I think it'll bring us back to our initial discussion, which was why is it that the Targum Yom Simen Uziel and Targum Unculus differ in their translation, their explanation of the word mizbeach here with regard to the mizbechos, the altars, right, that were erected for Bilam's entire production here. It says Fasemis. Ma'o shem Talmid Bilam, Talmidei Bilam. Fasemis asks another question. We mentioned a few questions on the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah and Avos. The Sfasemis asks another question. He says, what does it mean to be a Talmud of Bilam? Do I need to be a Talmud of Bilam to have bad mitos? Let me tell you something. You can have bad mitos without being a Talmud of anybody. Just allow yourself, right, your egocentric self, just to flower and blossom forth, and you will have every bad mito. You don't need to study. You don't need to study, right, under a Russia to become his Talmud, though people do that, right? They do take tutelage underneath some very, right, despicable individuals, etc. But they had it themselves anyway, right? This is a self-taught course. Mount Hamidi Bilam, Kman Nilman Bimeno, Midos Ros Halalo Ain Ra Ruach Gvo, etc. Yuchalim So Kol Shote Bli Limud. Any fool, right, can have this without studying it. You don't need to study it. Ach Ki Gam Harishoyim Machniim Atzman. He says a very fascinating thing over here. says a very fascinating thing, and I think the truth is he doesn't really address the diuk that I made before, right? He doesn't really address the diuk that I made before, but I think that I think that's part of the underlying foundation over here. And as we said before, kol mi sheish biyado shlosha dvarim halal. And we ask, what is the terminology yesh biyado? Midos you don't ordinarily think of as being in your hand. What I'm suggesting, albeit this Fas Emes is not mentioning this, but I'm suggesting is the Mishnah is telling us that perhaps both Tzadikim and Rishayim have got all different types of midos. They have both Ayin Tova and Ayin Ra. Even the Rosh has also got Ayin Tova. He has Ayin Tova. We'll just see what realm does he use it, right? And so too a Ruach Nemucha, right? Nefesh Shvela. It both have what we call the good midos that we saw by Bilam, by Avraham Avinu, those good midos as midos, right? As midos, as affect, as a approach to life are found even by the Rishayim. The question is, where do they apply them? So what I'm suggesting as follows. So that's the underlying point over here, is that the midos that the Mishnah mentions just mentions only one side. It mentions what a person has in his hand. In other words, your hands, you shape your Olam Hazeh. Right? You shape your Olam Hazeh. The midos of dealing with Olam Hazeh, so there we find the Gabi, the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu, there's Ayin Tova, there's Ruach Nemucha, there's Nefesh Shvela, right? Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shvela. With regard to dealing with Olam Hazeh, right? The Talminim of Bilam HaRasha, right? Are Ayin Ra, Ruach Gvoa, Nefesh Rechava. This is in dealing with what's in your hands in Olam Hazeh. When it comes to Ruach, we're going to see that it's entirely flipped around. So this Fas Emes. Ach Higam HaRashoyim Machniim Atzman. They have a concept, right, of hachna, of ruach nemucha, right? Vare amar imitin li mole besa lo ucho la'avor. He has this idea of ruach nemucha, Bilam that is. He says, if Balak were to give me a house full of gold, but I can't go against the word of Hashem. So he humbles himself before Hashem. But this is just another way to give expression to his own gaiva. You know what makes me so great? Is I've humbled myself before the Creator. I've humbled all of my greatness. Yes, we are my proverbial suspenders. I've humbled all of my greatness in front of the Creator. So his ruach nemucha is just another means by which he gives expression to his own egocentricity. He's then nechshav etzlo l'chashivus. La Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mashahu Machnia Atzmo. Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at me as I'm a big guy, because look how I'm humbling myself, because actually I really am great. But because I said, right, I can't go against Hashem's word, I humbled myself, that shows that I'm great, and record, and that's why Hashem has got me, right, behind record in box seats, right there in the stadium. I'm not in the bleachers, I'm Choshev, Machnia Atzmo, Afshu Choshev Me'od. Alva Tzadikim, Nefesh Shvela. But Tzadikim, in the world of their ruchnias, their nefesh is shvela. Sheim evakshim rak lios dovuk b'chei hachayim. There's no pretenses here. There's no, okay, fine, because I'm so chashev, and in spite of the fact that I am so chashev, I'm humbling myself, and that's what really makes me chashev, because I've humbled myself in all of my own glory, right? Congregation, please rise, etc. They don't have that. All they want to do is be attached to a source of life. I have nothing other than what Hashem gives me. Total humility. Umasayim, right? Ma be talmidav, etc. What's the difference between the talmidim of Bilam HaRasha and Avraham Avinu? Perish abesht. Ochlim b'olam hazeh, b'za'atzmo nochlim l'olam haba. Right? Ochlim b'olam hazeh. They eat in this world, and they inherit in the next world. And this is what we said before. Right? That's the nature where you translate when you're living the Dveikus with Hashem in this world, and that becomes the yardstick through which you deal with life's experiences. the ups, the downs, the pleasant, the not so pleasant, the mitzvos, the chasadim, the avodas Hashem, etc. So it becomes milashon nachal shemam shichim. It becomes like a flowing stream. Chiyus Hashem nisbarach gam ninyani olam hazeh, etc. Ki be'emes olam hazeh domo leprozdor ki olam hava lemala me'asaga. We can't comprehend olam hava. Right? It just says as we travel down the corridor of life, then eventually we wind up in the great hall. Ve'eich, the great hall. Ve'eich yuchol adam la'geshes, l'zeh rak al'idei shemekarev, inyone olam hazeh, l'kdusha, etc. Ve'zeh limud Avraham Avinu l'hamshich kol asiya achar chiyus ha'pnimius. Memela ayin tova, kim shakol koach Hashem yizbarach b'lvad. Right? Ulhefich, limud bilma rasha sha'af hachna letzorach geus. Even, recall it, even the hachna, the expressions of humility, are just another way to give expression to my own egocentricity. It is a yorish gehenim. Gabkin hepuch, hanal, sha'af sha'ailo, tzas madrega v'kdusha. Right? So even though he has some madrega of kedusha, the concept of humility does exist, but a concept of humility only becomes a methodology by which he can advance his own ego. Sharei Haryanavi, Hakadei Shehimshich Hachatoyim, Toch Tzas Maisim Tovim Shaiulo, Aidizeh Hichnis Hara Latoch Hatov Yorish Gehenim Kanal. So the Sfas Emes, yeah, bringing the Baal Shem Tov, has explained for certain things over here. Right. He has explained for us why you need to be a Talmud of Bilma Rasha. Right? Because to have bad miros, everybody has bad miros. To be able to take good miros and translate them into bad miros, then you need an example of someone to look at, and you can learn that from Bilma Rasha. He talks about how the Gehenim, right, indeed flows from, right, from Olam Hazeh, just as Gan Eden, Olam Haba, flows from the Olam Hazeh of the Tzaddikim. Albeit he didn't really answer our question. Right, he didn't really answer our question in terms of you know what happened in Olam Hazeh. We don't have the balance between what happens to the tzaddikim who are oklim in Olam Hazeh and no klim in Olam Haba. Whereas with the guy from the Shoyim, all he talks about is Gehenna. And we said, well, I understand. There people are in there a blast sometimes. I mean, albeit eventually the recorded loses its allure, right? Because but you can't do the same thing, and you know they have nothing from it. Okay, maybe that's the idea, that even here, people realize they have nothing in his Gehenim. Don't know. Let's see. Let's go a step further. I'm also within this topic, related. Here's the Baal Shem Tov himself, Ala Torah. So, here he asks the question, Shamati mi Mori, right? This is from quoting the Baal Shem Tov. Vir Mishnah of Avos. Akushim ifusemis. Mazu Sheila Ma Bain Talmidov Sheish Hefresh Kmo Bain Misa L'Chaim. Yes, what's the difference between them? What's the difference between them? The difference between them is you described already. It's the difference between the life and death. Ubezeh Yuvan, right, this is a little slightly different than the Baal Shem Tov that the Sfas Emes brought. Ubezeh Yuvan Ki Arosha Yesh Lo Midos Hanal Begashmi. This is what we were talking about before. Betovas Olam Hazeh Ayra, right? In other words, this goes back to our question before, what does it mean, biyodo? Biyodo. In Olam Hazeh terms, the Rasha, whatever he has is not enough. Shekol tova sheyeshlo, he's not appreciative of what he has. Shekol tova sheyeshlo, ain't maspik lo. It's not enough. He never has enough. We know this from many Rishonim. Kol ze einino shover li, says Haman, etc. Venos savea. He never has enough. Whatever he has is like it's minuscule, it's nothing. He doesn't appreciate what he has. It's always what he's missing. Hatzadik yeshlo ein ra beruchni. Hatzadik also has ein ra, but we're in ruchnius. What I have in ruchnius is never enough. I always want more and more and more. Obviously, there's a difference in the effect. Right, in that when a person looks at Olam Hazeh in those terms, so he really feels like he has nothing. Whereas the tzaddik knows that his connection in Ruchnius, he has something, it is eternal. Right? But he's never satisfied where he has. He always wants more, because it is endless. She'ineinos chaveya b'chol maisim tovim she'osa. He's never patting himself on the back, like, oh, I'm really good. I can quit now. I can go on vacation. Right? I'll go into pension. I did a life of good maisim tovim, but he's never satisfied. V'chein ruach gvoa. So too also, haughtiness, or what do you call it, I can be big, chashuv, right, big ideas, who am I? Can Rasha Yishlo mida razu begashmi? The Rasha has this in Gashmias, right? How ski sloped can I make my nose? How deeply can I, as it were, staple my suspenders, to my chest? Begashmi, a tzaddik yishlo mida zu beruchni. The tzaddik always overcomes the yitzhar. Yitzhar says to him, what are you going? Trying to make yourself such a big person. What do you call your pasha person? Like, oh, don't have any aspirations. The tzaddik, no. I aspire to more and more and higher and higher and higher and higher. Once again, right? I know everything I have is only from Hashem. But I have more and more and more. La'avod Hashem Yisbarach. Gam nefesh rechava. The tzaddik is always looking for new expressions to be over Hashem. He's misave, chesed, avoda, limud, right? Different aspects of it. He's trying, as it were, in every direction to expand his horizons in terms of avodas Hashem. So Rasha, yishlo midam begashmi. Right? He's got a begashmi. What's that? Taivos hamosros olmazeh, more and more and more, more pleasure, more experiences, more titillation, this, that, the next thing. V'chein ayin tova, yish lo letzadik begashmi, mashein ken rosha beruchni. So to ayin tova, the ayin tova in the world of what he called of gashmi, baruch Hashem, I have what I need. Mashein ken rosha. Rak the ruchni yeshal ayin tova. In the world of ruchnias, I got enough. That's a very telling point over here. She yeshal ayin tova. The Baal Shem Tov is coming to tell us here, and this is a fundamental idea over here, because we tend to think of, like, Baruch Hashem, I'm one of the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. I'm one of the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. What do I have to do with Bilam? A cyclops, right? Probably spits fire from his mouth. What an ugly looking creature, full of evil, etc. Says about Shem Tov, he sneaks this in on us. He says, you can be a Talmud of Bilam HaRasha, be very frum. You can be very frum and be a Talmud of Bilam HaRasha. How so? He says that for instance, the Rasha has got iron, right? Iron Tova. Got enough in Ruchnias. Sheish the Ayin Tova, Shemistapik b'Gim Lamudin, B'Omer HaTorah, Mistapik b'Miyut Lima Torah. I learned enough, a little bit, not too much. I don't need more. I don't have big ideas, big aspirations, a little bit, right? Miyut Avoda, I go to Shul, Shachris, okay. I could do more, no. I could have more Kavod, no. A simple Jew. We think this is humility. This is not humility. This is being a Talmud of Bilma Rasha. I go through the motions. I'm saying I'm not a big thinker. I'm a simple Jew. Simple Jews are very important, right? Aren't there songs about how important simple Jews are? That's only when they're struggling to do the best they can. Not when you said, why aspire to more? I'll aspire in the world of physicality. There, I'll aspire. I want the best. I want the best. The finest. Right? The finest. Ruchnias? No. Let's be simple. Be stuck, a little bit stuck, not too much. Let's not get carried away here. Ruchnamucha, tzadik begashmi, arasha beruchni, shavamani, safun, the chashuv, likonis, begeder chasidus. Rasha says, he's got a ruchnamucha in terms of ruchnias. Chashuv, I don't mean who stands up for you, where you sit in shul. Right? Aspirations of closeness to Hashem. No, simple. The tzaddik has that also, but in the world of gashmis, it's biyodo. It's biyodo. In gashmis, I don't need to be so chashev in a gashmi level. The Mekor Mayim Chaim, Talmidim and Baal Shem Tov, explains it actually a little bit in a finer point. And he comes to answer the question, Ma bein Talmido Shal Avraham Avinu Talmido Shal Bilam Arasha. And he says as follows, I mean, what's the difference? These are Tigam, these are Rishayim. He says, no. The difference is the Mishnah tells you this one goes to Gehenim and this one goes to Olam Abba. Why? Couldn't you tell beforehand? He says, not necessarily. It's because you could have all the trappings. Not that it has to be that way. But you could have all the trappings where it looks like a tzaddik on the outside. And people say, wow, what a tzaddik. Look at his humility. Look at his goodness. Look at his this. Look at his that. Look at the next thing, etc. Right? Look at all those things. But really, inside is midos, or the midos of Bilam. That's why it says you'll never be able to be mavchin. You can't necessarily know. One person can look like he's chasher, but really his midos are metukon, right on the inside. They say about the Reginer, just the sapras oz. I'm not coming to say that's the way that everyone should be. Right? We know that he conducted himself with like in a palatial way, recorded in a fashion of malchus. To the point that he had to flee to Russia because there were people comparing his grandeur to that of the Tsar. So he had to flee to Romania, etc. It's an interesting story in its own right. But in any event, he wore golden shoes. And this seems like a bit much. And again, this is not our avoda, it's not our style, etc. Just interesting to bring home the point. Wore golden shoes. So one time it was Motzei Shabbos. In Romania, and they went outside to say Kiddush Levana. It took a while for the moon to appear. They stood outside, and finally the moon cleared, right? They were able to say Kiddush Levana. And then the Chassidim noticed, as the Rebbe walked away, that the frozen turf, the frosted ground underneath him, was full of blood. And then they realized that the tops of the shoes were golden, but there were no souls. Again, this is not our avoda, this is not our style, etc. But that's what the Mekor Mayim Chaim is telling us, that you can't necessarily know from the outer trappings who was a Talmud of Avram and who was a Talmud of Bilam, because it's conceivable, and this brings back to the question we asked earlier, that by the Rishonim, it at least talks about Gehenna, Yoshin Gehenna, Yordan Ber Shachas. Because it is conceivable, it doesn't have to be that way, right? You can have plenty of Rishayim who are going from one debauch to, ceremony to the next. In this world, eventually, again, like I said, it becomes disgusting in their eyes, etc. But they go to Gehenna. But you can have one who makes his life Gehenna here and Gehenna there. Because he's pretending all the time, right? Walking around in what appears to be humility, etc., 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 but he's eaten up on the inside with all of the midos of Bilam HaRasha. So therefore, the only way to know the difference is not way that you can discern. Human eyes won't be able to discern it. It'll only be where eventually do they go. Interesting point upon there. Further, let's just go a couple steps more. It says, Vayichar Af Elokim. We know that Bilam, because Kosh Boko tried to get Bilam to recant. And so, as he's traveling on his donkey, passes through the vineyard, the Malach of Hashem is there, tries to stop him, etc. So it says, V'yicharaf Elokim ki holechu. Wait, he'd say, Malach Hashem, Yudke Vavke. You would think of all times you'd say Malach Elohim, meet us din, we'd be here. No, it's Malach Hashem. Yudke Vavke, the Shem Yudke Vavke is used with Rachamim. I save Malach Hashem Baderach L'Satan Lo to be a Satan for him, who Rochev Alo Sono Shnei Narav Imo. Rashi says, he's a Malach Shel Rachamim. Ayarotze lemano milachto shelo yechte v'yovad. Interesting. He's a malach of rachamim to save Bilam. Says the Bataim. Talks about our Mishnah, once again, our Mishnah in Avos. Right? Etc., etc. It says, Menuchal Omar, Shizewa Perish Makosuv, Yisyasev Malach Hashem, Bederach Satan Lo, Muhur Bezoar HaKodosh, Malach of the Rachmi Hava. Right? He was a Malach of Rachmi, like Rashi said. The Satan Lo, Daika. The Satan Lo, right? To be like the Satan for him, but over here the Satan Lo, in order to change him, in order to bring pain upon him, but through that pain to extract from him a change of path. The Satan Bahainu Rotzel Hapech Midosov Mira Latova Shahayalo Nefesh Shvela Shiyelo, Nefesh Shvela Ma'ayin Tova Ruach Nemucha. That's Rosh Hashanah Satan Shvela Tova Nemucha. And how was he trying to do that? Vizo Satan, Shvela Tova Nemucha. Vizo Hishvil Daito, Bosa Shah, Shafil Das Behemto Lo Yada. The point was to bring him to Tshuva by humiliating him, by being Mashvil Daito. Says the Basayim, Vizo HaMakor, Lemidos Tova Salolo Ruach Nemucha. The idea of what he called of a person being full of himself in an egocentric fashion, that's the shortage to all of Mido's rows. By debasing him, by embarrassing him, that he didn't even see what his donkey saw. Right? It was a painful experience. It was a debasing experience. It was a feeling of what he called of like, oh, it looks like such a jerk. Right? Look what the Creator's doing. He's making me look like a jerk. But in that moment, he had an opportunity to realize, don't you realize, you missed the boat. You've been on the path of egocentricity so long, right? Don't you see now? Start again from ground zero. Start from scratch. You have nothing other than what Hashem gives you. That was the means by which the Rabbon Shalom sent the Malach Rachamim. So the debasement that he suffered was really, right, an incredible gift of mercy on the part of Hashem. So we saw before that, right, that it's possible, it's conceivable for a person to have bad midos of Bilam and cover them up with an exterior on the outside. It's beautiful. Exquisite. Right. What a tzaddik. The person has to be brutally clear with himself. When I do stuff on the outside and my inside's not in sync, I'm in big trouble. So when Hashem takes me down, he lowers me, my status in my own eyes, my status in the eyes of others, perhaps. He's doing me a favor. You're not so chashev. Oh, I'm not so chashev. Not so chashev. My chashivus is only in my connection to Hashem. Right? Not because I'm so big and I make myself so small. I have one litmus test of chashivus, and that is, Hashem is the source of my existence. I have nothing without that. So now, a step further, and with this we'll conclude. Shaga Gulin from the Arizal says that Lavan was Nisgalgel as Bilam, and Bilam afterward was Nisgalgel as Novala Carmeli. Lavan, right, we know. Right, Lavan, the Arizal says, comes to Lavan in a dream when Lavan is on his way trying to catch up with Yaakov and do him harm. Hashem comes to him in a dream and says, don't you say a bad word to Yaakov. Right? Don't say a bad word. He wanted to. Don't say a bad word. He came back as Bilam. Bilam tikkun. Again, this is in the Sprach, this is in the terminology of the Rizal. Right? Bilam, then in turn, was meant to say a good word for the Jewish people, but only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu schlepped it out of him. He didn't really do the job that he was supposed to do. And then afterwards, okay, this is for a little bit of esoterica here, just a smooch, as a punishment because he didn't use his tongue the way he should have, intentionally in any event, right? So then Bilam was Mizgalgel, the transmigration of souls into a stone. Okay, I don't give anybody the creeps, but that could happen. And then afterwards he got another opportunity to say the right thing, to have the right attitude, and he came back as Nevelah Carmeli. If you remember from Sefer Shmuel, Nevelah Carmeli was the husband of Abigail, first husband, right? And David and his men, this is in the time period where Shaul was still officially the Melech, David and his men protected Nevel's shepherds and sheep from marauders, from wild animals, and then he asked for a bit of food, and Nevel mocked him. He said, "You're nothing but a rebellious servant and a master." And David, albeit mistakenly, thought this was the Merida Mamalchus, because he'd already been anointed by Shmuel as the king, even though in fact he wasn't yet the king, and he was going to kill, Nevelah Carmeli. But Abigail proved to him, it's true that you have been anointed, but since Shaul is still the de facto king, then there is no din of Merida Mamalchus vis-a-vis you. Don't do it. And he didn't do it. But Nevel heard, right? Nevel heard that that David had intended to kill him. The pasuk says that his heart turned to stone. Right? Turned to stone. He realized the sin he had committed, and he died in his bed. Nevel. What typifies Nevel? What typifies Nevel is that a Nevel, and this I heard from Rav Shapiro, many years ago, that all things that are detached from life, they have a foul odor to them. Those things that start off being attached to life and then become detached, all have a foul odor to them. So sweat, foul odor, fecal matter, foul odor, a dead animal, foul odor, a cadaver, a dead human being, foulest of odors, right? And so too a nevela, like we said, something that's dead. He's called Nevel, right? He's called Nevel, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Amatzeach leDavid, Amar Nevel b'Livo, Ein Elokim." Right? Nevel says, "Ein Elokim." Hishchisu, hisivu, alila, ein oset tov. The Nevel says he cuts himself off from Hashem. The difference is called a Nevel, ein Elokim. He reeks. He might have the finest cologne on him, but he reeks. He reeks. He's cut off from his source. Right. Talk about just for a moment this idea of Nevel. Nevel. Remember, Nevel, we said, was Bilam. Right? Nevel is completely, right, misfocused in this world. He doesn't appreciate the good that he has. Instead, all he sees is what he's missing, or what he might lack, and that's why he wasn't willing, Nevel, the character in Sefer Shmuel, wasn't willing to give anything to David. My wealth I should give to you. He's cut off from the idea that Hashem was giving him everything. If he's a Nevel, and he won't give. Says Rav Moshe David Vali, Talmud of Ramchal, "Lamatzeach leDavid, Amar Nevel b'Livo, Ein Elokim. Yishchis is evil, Alila Ein Oset Tov." Right? He sees around him people doing evil, no one's doing any good. Right? Right? And perhaps he's also seeing that, you know, sometimes he has some difficulties in his own life. And Yakesher Shalom Mizmor Azayim Hakodah, the previous parak Yud Gimel in Tehillim, talks about all the difficulties that could come upon a person, but it ends off. I place my trust in my bitachon in you, Hashem. Right, even through my difficult circumstances, but I know you're coming to do good with me. I know that you're ultimately coming to do good with me, And I'm hoping that that will be revealed already in this world, so where I can be yagelli bibishuatzach, I can rejoice in your salvation here. But I am both bitachon in your chesed. Right? Lefi shehizkir b'sofo bitchono achozok shel amaymin. The person who looks at the world as well, ugh, so I've got this, but I don't have this. So that was a blessing, but yeah, but now this is missing. So I got a patch over here. I'm shamed. My stature has gone down. He only sees what he's missing. He only sees what he's missing. He's got an iron rod in the experiences of his olam hazeh, and he's misyayish, and he gives up. Hayisyash is a gomor shel a bilti mamin v'koro novel. That's a person becomes a novel. Rav Ram and Agra just explains that that's what the novel is. He doesn't appreciate what he has. He doesn't appreciate what he has, and therefore he can only focus on what he lacks, and he cuts himself off from Hashem, that Hashem is involved in his lives, and he becomes a novel. We said novel. His right board is Bilam, who is Lavan. Right? He's got to manipulate, he's got to be controlled. The minute he loses that control, the minute he doesn't have the ability to manipulate, the minute that he's missing anything, his world falls apart. But Hashem is doing him a favor, like we saw before from the Batayin. Right? The Malach Hashem, the Malach of Rachamim, is there, Lasaton Lo. As I debase you, don't you realize, Rachel, this is for your benefit. Realize. That all you have is your connection to me. Implement, right? Shvela, tova, nemucha, satan, sin, test nun. Implement that. Learn from the patch that you get. Don't decide, no, God's not running the world. Because the world's not fun anymore. That certainly is our situation nowadays. Right? Hashem is giving us work. Hashem not as heavy a blow as he gave us 70 years ago, 80 years ago, etc. But he's buffeting us about, right, with what do you call it, with pestilence, with anarchy, with a rise in anti-Semitism. It's a malach Hashem, l'satano. It's not painful. Feel like, whoa, what happened here? What happened? We were riding high, and all of a sudden, Kaputsky, the market, right? Leisure, our respect, we're debased. It's frightening. It's all, right? It's all to keep us from becoming, God forbid, or perhaps from fixing the aspect of our being, perhaps Talmidim, to one degree or another, of Bilam. You don't have to be a cyclops to be a Talmud of Bilam. As the Kormayim Chaim said, you could look like an incredible tzaddik. On the surface, everything looks terrific. We need to fix the inside. Needs thought. I dare say, perhaps, maybe that's what's going on. We started off our entire discussion that the altars of Bilam, the Targum Unkelus said they're Madbacha. Targum Yosef Min Hazil said they're Egoreon. I don't think there's a Machlokas. I think that the outside was in fact a Mizbeach Hashem. But given that Bilam, who he is, even when his outer trappings are put together, but the underlying current on the inside is rotting. Even though externally they are Magbacha, internally they're Egoreum. They're tainted with idolatrous attitudes, if not through idolatrous deeds. So I think there's a lot to learn from this parsha. It's not just the story of some evildoer against the Jews. It is an evildoer who have to be very careful to make sure that we're, God forbid, not his student, but rather the student of Avraham Avinu. Okay. Have a good Shabbos. Hatzlacha. Be well.